On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. How are you today? I hope everything is extra wonderful. We're going to be talking to Sabrina Shirley. And you know what? She is really redefining herself, pivoting, adding a different niche. She wants to work with women to help them reduce the stress by creating new thoughts and beliefs. It's all in your mind, brains. If you can think it, you can achieve it. Trust me, I know. It's a part of the mindset, it's a part of the manifestation, but also work-life balance. You have to learn how to reward yourself. You have to recognize your success. You have to delegate. You have to really become one with this new thing that you're trying to create. Because if you don't, it's self-sabotage. So we're going to talk to Sabrina about that and a whole lot more. Let's welcome her to the show. How are you, Ms. Shirley?
Hello, April, and thank you. Hello, brains. I am so happy to be here with all of you on this wonderful Wednesday.
It is a wonderful Wednesday. It's my favorite day of the week. What's your least favorite day of the week?
My least favorite?
Yes.
It's probably Monday.
Really? Mine was Tuesday.
Really?
I could get in there on Monday, but Tuesday, baby, I was like, oh, God. You know, it's crazy. And Saturday seems like a fun day, but Saturday is a day that everybody is running around. You're trying to get the groceries. You're trying to wash the clothes. You're trying to do everything you didn't do Monday through Friday. But let's talk a little bit to the individual that needs to balance out Monday through Sunday.
Yes, let's talk about her. So as I envision who she is, I used to be her. And I struggled. I had a busy life at work. I had extracurricular activities. I didn't have children that lived in the house with me, so that wasn't part of it, but I know a lot of the women out there are. And when you're trying to focus on a career and you're wanting to climb a ladder, that often brings imbalance. And we often see it in women. Mm-hmm. The struggle with trying to get all that done creates stress. And that stress impacts our health. And I don't know if people know this or not, but in a range between about 75 to 90% of the diseases that we are living with today, they're caused by stress.
They
so
are.
it's important for us as women in particular, because we're the caretakers, we're the nurturers, whether we're caretaking for aged folks or mm-hmm. for young folks, we need to be in our best health. And we just take on all the stress and then we're out of balance. So we either have a health issue or a weight issue, which leads to a health issue, or finances may or may not be where we want them to be. Relationships, that often suffers.
Absolutely. But you know what it is that we don't recognize it.
Awareness.
Because we're constantly on this hamster wheel.
Yes.
You're constantly going. I know when my mother was transitioning, you know, I had a routine. I'd get up, I'd, you know, have her medicine, I'd take time for my shower, I'd get out, I'd feed her, you know, yada yada, get a little exercise, do this and the other. But then when she transitioned, I said, what am I going to do with this time? I would sit there in the morning, like, dumbfounded. I didn't know what to do. And so many times we don't delegate responsibility either. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody else could have made mama's breakfast. Somebody else could have, you know, went to the post office for me. Somebody mm-hmm. else could cook dinner. We don't realize that until my hair started falling out. And I was like, but you know what? Brush my afro and it'd be hair everywhere. And I was like, and my husband goes, baby, you're stressed out. I didn't really realize it. And as you said, it manifests into diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And a mm-hmm. lot of that can be addressed, or what happens is people self-medicate.
They do that
Oh,
as
okay. Well,
well.
you know, I'll come home and I'll have me a glass of wine, or you know, I'll smoke me one of them funny cigarettes, or you know, the
Or eat
doctors
some
give me an anxiety.
edibles.
Yeah, take some edibles, or the doctor's giving me a little pill. You know, the one's not working. Let me take two, and then you got an addiction.
And then you got an addiction.
So a lot of things, you know, happen. What are some of the steps that you recommend? Number one, to stop, pause, and recognize. And then what would be the next step to adjust to a new normal?
Okay. Thank you for that question. I first want to take a quick step back and capsulize what you just said. And in the space that I work in, we call that sleeping awake. You're just going through the motions. You have no intentionality, no thoughts behind what you're doing, why you're doing it. And the very first step, much like people who are in addictions, is admitting that, but also becoming aware. That is the key. When you can get in tune to yourself and your environment and what you're doing, that's awareness. Now, in my world, we call it consciousness, but it is truly awareness. And there's a myriad of things that you can do daily. You can start with deep breathing. That's a simple one. In the middle of the day, when you feel the stress rising up, but again, you got to be aware, not be sleeping awake. But when you feel that stress rising up, that is a good indicator it's time to step away from the desk, take a short walk, maybe, or just go to a private place, a conference room, the bathroom, wherever, and just do some deep breathing for 5 minutes. Six breaths in, hold it for a few breaths, six breaths out. You could do that 3 times and that will help restore you.
I love breath work. I do. I do it a lot. And again, it's being conscious. And you know what? You know when you're stressed out. And don't be a woman in your late 40s or 50s and have one of them hot flashes on top of it. Girl, you be the you don't want to turn over the desk and everything else too. But you know what your triggers are. You a certain person will walk into the room. The phone will ring and you see that it's a certain person. It's a certain time of the day. And your diet, you know,
Your diet is very critical. It
diet
is
is, of
very
course, we
critical.
overeat or you're always on the go. And that's one thing that I had to stop doing. Every time somebody wanted to meet with me, it was meeting at a restaurant. No, number one is uber expensive now. Number two, the food is not as good as it used to be. But what I want to do is I want to engage in that person in the conversation. So now, I say, get a bottle of water, meet me at the park.
Lovely.
Let's pack a
Great
lunch
idea.
and sit at the park. We sit there, we'll go for a walk, and you don't even realize it. You know, men go to the golf course
They
and
do.
close multi-million dollar deals.
They
And here
do.
we are eating sweets at one of these restaurants and putting on pounds and not getting any exercise. So change your environment. As you said, that is huge. And the
Yeah.
breath work is amazing. Tell us a
It
little bit
is.
about your corporate experience and what you did or what you do in your current life that really kind of, you know, sets you apart from the stay-at-home mom.
Okay. Well, for me, I spent nearly 4 decades. I know I don't look my age,
No,
right?
you don't, girl.
I spent nearly 4 decades working in corporate America. Well, just shy of 4 decades. And really, the shyness was layoff time periods. And I started off in public accounting. So I've always worked in professional settings, served time in professional service organizations. And so that was a comment that I would get later in my career is, you're just so professional. And I would always think, but I work for a professional services firm.
Right,
That's
right,
what they
right, right,
taught
right,
me, you
right.
know? And then I evolved from public accounting as an auditor to working for a company that subcontracted with the government as a different type of auditor, and then move that skill into initially audit support, but eventually consulting, where I really enjoyed that aspect of my life because now I was helping people. See, as an auditor, you're not viewed as a very friendly, you're not viewed as an ally at all. You're the one who's coming in here to find what's wrong or to take money from us. But when you're on the other side and you can give the advice to help them keep the money, oh, people love you. So I love that part of my job. And then I worked for an organization which was my favorite job of all jobs that I've ever had. And it's through this journey that I discovered why it was my favorite job. But that job grew me into an operations girl. So I moved away from the accounting and auditing work into operations and being part of the leadership team. And we would always have our missions and objectives from corporate in terms of the goals that they wanted to see achieved. And I pretty much stayed in that space for about, I guess, the 20 or so years of my career. So half my career was in that space and working with leadership teams. My last role, I'm no longer in corporate America, but my last role was as a chief of staff to a market president for a managed care organization. And I live in the state of Florida, and our territory was 80% of the state. So most of the state we covered.
I want to dial back and dissect some of the things that you said because it's very, very important. As an auditor, very detail oriented. You got to dot the I's, you got to cross the T's, you got to look at where the money's going, you got to be accountable to the employees and to senior management. There's a lot of pressure there. But also, you're very professional. You know, I did this for a certain, you know why I'm talking about this. You know, sometimes people don't look at the obvious and think that it is anything but what they assume it would be.
No,
So,
I
you know, you're
understand.
raging against the machine in a corporate environment. Oh, you speak so professionally. Well, I go to school and this is how I was raised and I have manners and I have class and I like things. So there's a certain assumption. But with that assumption, we have to carry ourselves in a more dignified manner. Because
We do.
we can't flip the script like we want to
Well,
sometimes.
I'm starting to learn that maybe we can. So that's one of the other things and passions that I have in working with women who are in leadership roles in corporate America is helping them to find their authentic voice
Right.
and become authentic leaders, because we are trained, particularly if you're someone like me who grew up in big organizations, male dominated, you kind of grew up with this thought that you can't be yourself. And
Right.
so you learn to put on all these different masks to be who they want you to be. And I'm finding that as I'm unwinding out of that space, that it's taking a little while to get all those masks off. I didn't even realize how many I had on, but I would have served myself better if I had been my authentic self instead of trying to conform.
Sometimes we can be, all women can be a little rough around the edges because we are dealing in these male-dominated positions. And sometimes we come in and we have the imposter syndrome. We're pretending to be something that we're really not. We're trying to compete. We're not bringing our feminine essence into it.
Correct.
And so it's hard to juggle that. We're bringing our culture, we're bringing our ethnicity, we're bringing the opposition. There's a lot of balls to juggle. But I want to touch on one more thing, the layoff. The layoff is hard for a lot of people because they say, why me? You know, they take it very personally. And brains, let me tell you, if you have not been fired and you have not been laid off, baby, you
You
ain't
haven't
worked
done.
and you ain't lived.
Not lived.
Okay, it's a part of the process.
It is. It
It's how
is.
you, it's how you make your skin thick. Yes, you know, if you get laid off, It's not personal. But also, when you get a promotion, you best believe they're not giving it to you just because you're pretty. You're going to work for that.
You
You're going to
are.
work for that.
You are.
So
And
your
especially
self,
if you look like us, you're definitely
exactly.
going to work for it. Yeah.
But your self-esteem comes in there. How do we talk to self and say, you know what? This is not personal. This is business.
Well, you know, it's a mindset. And you have to recognize you have to have certain thoughts and beliefs. One of the things that we, as many people, male and female, fail to recognize is that our brain, our mind, has more power than we give it. And that we have the ability to create our life. But most of us are, or many of us are unaware of that. And so we react to life. And when you can make that shift, then you create what you want your life to be. So you got laid off. Okay. I'll tell you, for me, this the last layoff, and I'm not a fan of layoffs, but this last layoff, I'm actually very, very, very grateful that it happened, because it has now redirected me, reshifted me, given me an opportunity to dig deep and really understand me. And I wouldn't have had that time to really like look back over my life, learn these tools, and be able to see. Like, now I can articulate to you why that job was my favorite job. Because I know things that are different than I knew before. I've gone well below the surface. So you have to embrace it. And it all starts here. And
So now,
knowing it's going to happen, just be prepared for it. And I'll
you
get
are in
into
the
something
knowing.
on that.
You are into the knowing. Okay, you are into the awareness. You are into the consciousness. Because as we spoke earlier, you know, sometimes mindset can keep you stagnated. You want to be conscious. You want to try to be, you know, at every pivotal interval. Oh, okay, wow, this is a learning. This didn't go the way that I thought. I have an opportunity to reframe it. I have an opportunity to learn from it. Don't take it personal. Or this was deeply personal, but what did I contribute to that?
That
Okay.
part.
And how can I reset? How can I look at it with a different set of eyes? So that's very, very important. And it can also be fun.
It can be. It can be.
Again, look what you've discovered. You've got a whole new lease on life where now you're taking all that you've learned and you're able to mentor and pour into other individuals.
People.
What do people have to look forward to when they work with you, Sabrina?
Well, they have a number of things to look forward to. And one of those ties into this conversation. And it's called learning levels of consciousness. But we start off on a very basic level and we categorize it into four areas. So I'm just going to call them, you got level one, which we call to me. You have level two, which we call by me. We have level three, which we call through me. Did I say the first one was through me or to me? The first one's to me. Three is through me. And four is as me. So I'm going to talk about what those are very briefly. To me, these are the people who are definitely sleeping awake and not paying attention. And they're in victim mode. Everything happens to them. They're complainers. Something happens, they complain about it. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. Yep. I lived in complain world for a stretch of my life. Then there's the by me. So the by me are, I'm in control. I'm going to make things happen. And they're continually what I call running around the racetrack, chasing the white rabbit, not realizing they ain't going to never catch that white rabbit. Okay. Never. But they're just tiring themselves out. They're swimming upstream. Then there's level three. And that's where what I guide people through is to get them from level two to level three. And level two is very prevalent in The armed services, very prevalent in corporate America. It is very, very binding. But where you really love to be is in Thrumi. And Thrumi is not much different than Bimi. But the two distinguishing factors, one, the how, it's none of your business. It is none of your business, the how. It'll come to you. Trust me, it'll come to you.
All right.
And the other part of it is letting go of the expectation.
That's
If
it.
not this, it'll be something better. If you have that mindset. And I'll add a third one in, I live in a friendly universe. So if I live in a friendly universe, because that's a choice, you can choose to live in a friendly universe, believe that, or you can choose to believe you live in an unfriendly universe. And whatever you believe is what you're going to get.
Exactly.
So you got to make that change. And briefly on ASME, that's kind of unity, unconditional love, that kind of life. I say Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, those individuals, not
Well,
where I'm trying to get you. Yeah,
I'm
you
always
can get there. I'm
honest
not
with
really
you.
trying to
Yeah,
get you there.
work with me because there's conditions on my love. I'm not gonna lie to you. There's
But you know
conditions
what? That starts early in our life.
on
If
my
you think about it, when you were a child, when you first came here and you cried, and they discovered that cry means I need my diaper changed. That cry means, but you could do no wrong. And
Right.
then by the time they're about 18 months, 2 months, then what do you start telling them?
You
No.
discipline them, yeah.
At that point, you have now started beginning to teach conditional love.
Right.
So we learn it early and it's baked into our head.
It is
But I mean,
baked
give
in.
you a couple of examples on Thrumi. I'll give you one as a work example and one as a kind of a recent. When I was in the workforce in what I called my favorite job, I didn't know it at that time, but I was living a Thrumi lifestyle. And a Thrumi lifestyle looks like this. You don't have any control over the outcomes. You couldn't manipulate the things that I did, but I was hired for a very specific job role as a subject matter expert. And on Thursday, so I'd been there a year, and the goal was to file some reports and get approvals from the government. On Thursday, I get my first set of approvals. I already had a trip scheduled, not knowing when these approvals were coming in. And on Saturday, I'm sitting in a suite with the CEO of the company. And what do you think my conversation was with him? We just got our first approvals. Now, could I control that timing? No, I could not control that timing. That was through me. It happened for me. Another recent example, and this is something I had to get used to. Now it happens. It doesn't confuse me. I'm still amazed, but never surprised anymore. But I have times when my schedule will get double booked. And so what does the average person do? They look at their calendar and they're like, oh, I'm double booked. Let me call. And you know what? I don't make calls. I don't make calls at all. You know what happens? They call me. I haven't asked them to call me. They don't even know my schedule is double booked. But one of those conflicts, repeatedly, time after time, including twice last week, will pick up the phone and call me or send me a message and say, hey, can we move? That's through me. That's being in tune, and the universe brings you what you need. And as
Absolutely.
I like to say, because I live in a friendly universe.
Exactly. And another big $25 word you use is expectations.
Yes,
I
ma'am.
always have to tell people you should not have expectations of others.
No. Well,
You know,
that
those
sets you up for
expectations
failure.
are exactly, those expectations are yours. Because when a person doesn't conform, concede, or get it, or even want to do it, then you all jawed up. You're mad
Jawed up
because
and placing judgment.
placing judgment and even hating on them.
Yes.
Trying to sabotage what they're doing. But I ask my God every single day to bring me the highest and greatest good. Highest and greatest good. What else is possible, and how can it get any better than this?
Exactly.
Those are my
And
three requests every day.
I like to add to that, not as a request, but for some sharing with our audience. When you find yourself in a situation and someone hasn't met your expectations, A, now be aware that that is the situation, but instead of getting upset or mad, ask yourself, what is that person going through? What is their frame of reference for behaving this way versus naturally thinking your way is the way? Because that's what many of us do. We think our way is the way. And then when they don't perform up to that expectation, then something's wrong with them. They should
Something's
know
wrong
better.
with them. And you know what? Again, when you ask, I had a situation. I don't want to give too much because folks will figure out what I'm talking about. But I was with a group of people, and this one person really disappointed me. Really disappointed me. And it wasn't because of an expectation. It was just common courtesy that you should do certain things and you didn't do them. And so I made a request and the request didn't come through. And I looked at myself and I kind of chuckled because I had asked that morning for the highest and greatest good and it didn't manifest. That was the highest and greatest good that it didn't manifest because it was not what it appeared to be. Sometimes a colleague will get a promotion over you that wasn't for you.
It wasn't.
Sometime your partner will leave you and go be with somebody else. That person wasn't for you.
Wasn't for you.
You
If
know,
not this,
sometimes you'll
something
go to a
better.
smorgasbord and everything at the smorgasbord is not for you. So realize that and count that as a gift that you dodged a bullet. That this was not for me. But I
Yes,
want
ma'am.
to ask you some fun questions too, Sabrina. I want to talk to you about this house that you are remodeling. You remember you told me about that? You said that you're renovating, was it your mom's house or your parents' house?
Yes, I'm clearing
Okay.
it out and then the renovations begin.
So do you have an idea and a concept of how you want it to look and feel and what you want to do? I know that's exciting.
It is exciting. And I do have some concepts. There definitely will be some more free open space. Ideally, I too want to have a space for meditation. Because that's a very important part of my life now, is quiet time, reading time, meditation time. I have an idea that I'm trying to work through how to make it work, but there's a spa that I go to for my massage, and they have this room that they put you in before you go to meet with your practitioner. And in it is this like waterfall. It's built into the wall.
Oh,
And it's a
wow.
waterfall that changes colors. And I'm like, I gotta figure out how to incorporate that into a space because that becomes part of the meditation room, the quiet room, the reading room. And then, like I said, opening up space, making it more inviting to have people come and have them be able to mix and mingle versus you got a group in this room and a group in this room because
Right, you
it's
want to make it
open.
more open. So let's ask if you were an appliance in the kitchen of all places,
In
what
the kitchen.
appliance would you be, Sabrina?
Well, believe it or not, I think I would be an oven.
Wow.
Because when you put something in the oven, it bakes, it takes time, but it transforms into a dish. So I'll use something simple, cornbread. It's a liquidy mixture when you put it in, kind of like us when we're unaware and we don't know what we're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And then it bakes and it forms into a solid and it's got a nice coating on the top and you put a little butter on it and it is super yummy. And because I'm in the business of transforming lives, I think it kind of reflects what I do for a living.
Well, that's
So I would
wonderful.
pick an oven.
I'd be the refrigerator. I just want to chill.
I like that one. I like
Just
that
want
one.
to be somewhere cool, and if it doesn't work out for me, I can put you in the freezer for a minute.
That would be my second choice.
That's pretty cool. If you were a car, what kind of car would you be?
Oh, let's see. I would be a simple car because I'm not a flashy kind of person. I don't like to draw a lot of attention to myself. So I specifically wouldn't try to be a red car or a Mercedes. But what I would do is I would pick a car, much like the car I drive today, that is a Ford, but I would load it up with all the toys. Now, my version of the car is really a Lincoln, but it has the Ford tag on it. So you're not really looking for me to take
Now,
advantage of me.
would you do gas, electric, or hybrid?
Well, that's a good question because I have a new item that was thrown in the mix. And so, based on what you asked, I would say hybrid.
Hybrid, okay.
But given some additional information that someone shared with me recently, I might even consider diesel.
Wow. Okay. Well, if you came back from Thailand, like I came back from Thailand, you don't want no diesel. Baby, I tell you, my respiratory was, it was rough.
Really?
Oh, it was rough. It was rough on that diesel was, it was rough.
Okay.
It
Well,
was
then
a
maybe I'll
beautiful
go
trip.
back to hybrid.
We might go back to hybrid. I'm gonna go to hybrid. I want a mix. But I'd be a 1974 VW van.
Oh, I
Oh
love it.
yes, I'd have it painted with the flowers. I'd have me a mattress in the back. I'd be playing some Jimi Hendrix with a hookah pipe and my fine man with his afro. Oh yes, that's exactly where I would be. I would
That
put myself in
sounds.
a time capsule. Speaking of time, if you could time travel, if you go back to the past, stay in the present, or fast forward to the future, where would you land?
I would go to the future for sure, because that's where my dreams live right now.
Absolutely.
One of the things that often happens to women in corporate America, particularly if they're not progressing at the pace that they think they should. And I will speak for myself, but I'm sure it happens to other women. You lose your dreams.
You
You
do.
stop dreaming because you've got these limits that have been placed on you, or you're being told that you're not good enough. And so, at some point, you don't have dreams. So mine would be in the future where my dreams live. And in those dreams, I would be in a home that spoke to tranquility. It would have a luscious garden that would be my view every day. Again, speaking to tranquility because peace and positivity is the path that I'm on. I live in Florida right now. And so if I remain in Florida, then I would have two homes. I would have a summer home and I would have a winter home because as global warming that some people don't believe exist is happening, it is getting really, really hot. Like we're having Arizona type weather right now. Every day at around 3, I tend to venture out. I don't know why I picked that time, but I tend to venture out. And consistently this week, it has always been over 100 degrees, 103, 104, 105. Low humidity, so grateful for that. Little bit of breeze, so grateful for that. But it didn't used to be that way. And I am a woman of a certain age, so I don't really like hot. So I would love to have a home in Maine or Wyoming or Montana where maybe the high for the day is 83. And then when it gets cold up there, we'll come back to Florida where the high for the day may be 83 and it's January.
Well, you have it all mapped out, so it's just a matter of implementing it because you
It
have that
is.
much more. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. to work with you. I see here in the upper corner that you have a free gift. We want to talk a little bit about that and how they can take advantage of that, Sabrina.
Well, this is one of the ways that they can get in touch with me. Free gift from Sabrina.com. And the free gift will be about authenticity and how insecurities play a role in keeping us in our inauthentic self. When you get to that landing page, in order to get the free gift, I am going to ask for your email address. And at the top of the page, you will also see my links for my social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. LinkedIn and Facebook are Sabrina Shirley, very simple. And Instagram is I am dot Sabrina Shirley, because for some reason Sabrina Shirley wasn't available. Who knew? But you will easily get to them when you go to that link.
Okay. Well, we're going to put all of your contact information at the back part of the interview and at the show notes. We're going to keep in contact with you because I love to see a woman ascend to a tranquil place, a heated place where there's an oven, to a relaxed place where there's an easy driving car, but also peace of mind and tranquility. And that is crucial, brains. That's what we ask, that you just step back, take a breath, think about it, talk about it, process it, trial and error. It's okay to make a mistake. You know,
It
we're
is.
all not perfect. We are perfectly imperfect. And so enjoy that, relish that part, and be a woman that is willing to be a risk taker. It's not over. When they tell you at 40, baby, 40 is the best. 50, I didn't even realize it, but when I turned 60, oh, it was a party because I became unapologetic. And there's a whole
Yes,
lot of things I didn't even care about anymore, you know, but there's a whole
so.
lot of other things that I put as priorities, and one of them being self. Thank you so much, Shirley, for being with us. Brains, I'm looking for my postcard. Let me find my postcard here. So you know where you are. You know where you are here on the edge. We want you to love, like, share, and subscribe. Love, like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment. Go in, have a consultation, have a conversation with Sabrina because
Yes.
she is going to help you maybe uncover and discover things that you didn't even realize and how to implement them. Okay? Thank you so much again for being here with me on the edge.
Thank you for the invitation. It was a joy.
All right. Bye, brains. Have an amazing day. Count.